The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 10, text number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 13th, 2009, in Helsinki, Finland.
So tonight we are blessed by Srila Prabhupada with the opportunity to study Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Machchita madgata prana, bodhayanta parasparam, katayantascha manityam, tushyanta charamanticha, machchita madgata prana. Bhodhayanta parasparam, katayantascha manityam, tasyanta charamanticha. Machchita, their minds fully engaged in me. Matgata prana, their lives devoted to me. Bodhayanta, preaching. Parasparam, among themselves. Katayanta, talking. Cha, also. Mam, about me. Nityam, perpetually. Tushyanti, become pleased. Cha, also. Ramanti, enjoy transcendental bliss. Cha, also. Translation and prayer board by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi, Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself, and in the mature stage, they are actually engaged in the situated of love of God. They are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the coverings of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and then rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits. And the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plant of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God. Then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam. That's very elementary Sanskrit. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Amalam means spotless. It's a spotless Purana, and Priyam means dear, Vaishnavanam to the Vaishnavas. So that spotless Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is very, very dear to the Vaishnavas. This is described. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita
Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
What can we say? I mean, this is really sweet. This is really, really super sweet. The devotees are always swimming in this ocean of nectar. Just by hearing about Krishna, just by chanting Hare Krishna, just by talking about Krishna, they're deep sea diving in the ocean of unlimited nectar, spiritual bliss, you see. There's nothing so sweet as Krishna consciousness. Actually, there's nothing sweet except for Krishna consciousness. Everything else is bitter. Even Brahman realization is ultimately bitter. Even Brahman realization, which is stated to be the constitutional position of unlimited happiness, even that is bitter because it's not a permanent position. You see? Aruya krichena parampadam tada padanyato nandito yushmanangrayaha. Even if one achieves that Brahman position, patanti adho, they fall down again into material existence. Why? Because they have no taste for Krishna katha. So if you want to be pakka, if you want to be solid in Krishna consciousness, just develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. That's all you have to do. It's as simple as that. Doesn't matter what your position is. Male, female, brahmachari, married, sannyasi, pot washer, guru, anything. GBC, book distributor. Doesn't matter what your position is. This is the universal, congregational member. It doesn't matter what is your position. Just somehow develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then you are solid. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Simple thing. Being very enlivened to hear about Krishna. But you know what? And Prabhupada alludes to it here in his purport. In the beginning, we get pleasure out of our service, being active for Krishna, doing this, doing that. You see? That's the rajasic nature. Being very active, big projects, you know what I'm saying? It's called the doing mode. Rajas. You see, that's the doing mode. In the beginning, we by doing things. You see, that fires us up. If we had to sit down and hear all day, we'd fall asleep. So we have no taste just to hear chat about Krishna 24 hours, you see. We need to do things, cook a feast, go out and distribute books, make a revolution, like that. We're in the doing mode, you see. But as we advance, you see, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, in the beginning, the service, we get the nectar from doing things actively, you see, service. But then he says, in the mature stage, they're actually situated in love of God. That's the meditative stage. Of course, it doesn't mean you stop acting in that stage. Those who achieve that stage, they become even more active. But the point is, they don't need to do that to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, whether in any state. They're in a meditative state, purely meditative state. At the same time, they're very active for the sake of bringing others to that meditative state of pure Krishna bhakti. The simile given here of penetrating the covers of the universe, I mean, that's really fantastic. It's not just a simile, it's a fact. You will actually physically penetrate the coverings of the universe when you become pure in love of God. You see? The coverings of the universe is like a jail. Right now we're in a prison. This material world's a prison house, you see. When you become purely fixed in bhakti, then you break right through the walls of the prison, you see, and they're very thick. You think the prisons here have thick walls. Read in Prabhupada's books how many millions and millions of miles the coverings are of this universe. You can't physically get through it. It's impossible. It's a humongous covering. What we see in outer space is just a little tiny pinhead compared to a huge, massive coverings. If you were to see a graphic illustration of the universe, it would be this big, huge, solid mass with a little tiny, little, teeny, weeny little space in the middle of it. That's what we call outer space. You see? What we're seeing is a little tiny pinhead amount of space compared to the coverings. That's how thick the coverings are. You'll never physically get through. Not possible. But if you can develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, then you can burst through all those coverings. It's like the yogi bursts through the Brahmarandra. At the time of leaving the body, he bursts a hole through the top of his skull. You see? But how thick is that top of the skull? Not very thick. See, the Astanga yogi, he can burst through the skull. But a bhakti yogi, he can burst through the coverings of the whole universe. That's big time bursting, you see. You want to be a big time burster? Then take up Krishna consciousness with all seriousness. You can burst through those millions and millions of miles covering within a second. You see? And you don't stop there. You enter the Brahma Jyoti, as Prabhupada explains it. But then you're not, oh wow, I'm in the Brahma Jyoti. No. Who cares for the Brahma Jyoti? Keep going. You see? You got to go for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. That's what the bhaktas are after. They don't care for the Brahma Jyoti. Who cares? They go straight for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, you see, and they wrap around the feet and twine them, their consciousness in the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And then that prema pal, that fruit of pure love of God, that becomes manifested. And then Prabhupada concludes his purport talking about, we quoted that verse and explained it, its meaning in detail. It's nothing so sweet, you see. It actually becomes a spontaneous thing, as Prabhupada points out in the last sentence. Just like here in this material world, you see, the boys are attracted to the girl, you see, and the girls are attracted to the boys. That is a natural thing, by nature's way, you see. They say opposites attract. It's a built into the human psychology. When a boy sees a girl, especially a young boy, you see, he's a young girl, oh, and he goes crazy. Or vice versa, you see. So that same, Prabhupada compares the attraction for hearing about Krishna to be just like a young boy and a young girl taking pleasure, you know, in their love affair, you see. So actually this is more pleasurable because I may fall in love with a beautiful girl, but then she's going to get old, or she'll go off with somebody else, or she'll get old and she'll die. It's only temporary. But if we can fall in love with this, with Krishna, you see, in the topics of Krishna, then, you know, we'll never lose Krishna. You'll never get old, you see. Krishna is ever fresh, nava yavanam. He's ever increasingly sweet. What boy or girl in this world is ever increasingly sweet? There is no boy or girl here that's ever increasingly sweet. But if you can have this relationship with Krishna, Krishna is Navayovanam, he's ever increasingly sweet. Just like imagine you can pick some flower, some carnation. You have carnations here? You ever have carnations here in Finland? Gardenias, that's the word I was thinking. Yeah. You ever have gardenias here? You ever smelled a gardenia? It's the most fragrant flower you can ever imagine. Maybe in the florist shop you can get them. They're unbelievable. At our LA temple, they used to have gardenia bushes because it grows in the climate there. I went in that temple, it was just like, I couldn't believe it. The smell of gardenia was like going into Svargaloka or something. It was so heavenly, it was unbelievable. So anyway, just imagine a gardenia flower that you could pick. And usually a gardenia, it smells very good at first, but then gradually it fades out and it rots away, right? Any flower. But just imagine a flower that you can pick that flower and it becomes more beautiful and more fragrant. Day after day, week after week, year after year, 10,000 years later, it's even more fresh and more beautiful and more fragrant than it was when you picked it. Just imagine what kind of mystical flower that would be. Well, that's Krishna, you see. That's Krishna. He's like the supreme mystical flower. Because no matter, the more you hear about Krishna, the sweeter he becomes. The more you talk about Krishna, the more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you honor Krishna's mercy, prasadam, the more you serve the spiritual master, the more you serve the Vaishnavas, the more you do these things, it gets sweeter, sweeter, sweeter. And if it's not getting sweeter, what does that mean? That means your devotional service is being executed in the mode of passion. Because in the mode of passion, it's sweet in the beginning and it turns into poison. But when you're sattva guna, it's a little bitter in the beginning because you're not used to waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But it becomes gradually becomes sweeter and 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 sweeter. You see? So, the point is, persevere through the bitterness. And it pays off. Those who persevere get rewarded greatly, and let's put it in that way. Many people come to Krishna consciousness and leave. Because they're initially attracted by it, but then they start to see the austerities of it, and they go, wait a minute. But those who don't listen to their mind, who persevere, they end up taking the sweetest nectar at every minute. So whatever you do, don't give up. Just stay with the process. Even if it's sometimes going gets rough sometimes, stick with the process. And when you're flying on an airplane, like today we were flying in the airplane and it hit some turbulence, do we think of jumping out of the airplane because it hit some turbulence? Would that be a very smart thing? I think I'd jump, you know, pull the door and go out, jump out the door because there's some turbulence. That'd be so stupid, wouldn't it? Actually, it happened in Hawaii. It wasn't turbulence, but some crazy person, he opened the door of the airplane. And so many people got sucked out. It was a horrible thing. Anybody who didn't have their seatbelt on got sucked out the door because the pressure, you know. So just because there's some turbulence on the airplane doesn't mean you jump out. No, you tighten your belt. That's what you do when there's turbulence. So when there's turbulence in Krishna consciousness, do you jump out? No, tighten your belt. That's what you do. Tighten your belt. You get the coins getting a little rough now, let me tighten my belt up so I don't get jostled. You see? And how do you tighten your belt? Well, let me chant with more attention. Let me spend a little more time today reading. Let me do my service in a more meditative way by praying to my spiritual master to help me to do this service perfectly. You see, whether I'm distributing books or taking care of Tulsi Devi or doing accounting work, whatever I'm doing, you see. If I'm feeling turbulence in the mind, let me pray for the mercy so I can pass through the turbulence in this way. You understand? So this process is not actually difficult if you know what you're doing and you do it. That's all. Is it difficult to make blueberry muffin? No. If you try to concoct it on your own, yeah, it'll bloop. Oh, here, make some blueberry muffins. And you say, well, I'm great. I'll just go in and throw something together. You get some goo in the bottom of the pan. But someone thinks, well, I'm not Mr. Know-it-all. Let me get a cookbook and find out what the recipe is. You see, and then I'll follow the recipe. It's difficult to make blueberry muffins if you don't follow any recipe and you don't know what you're doing. You see, it's very difficult. But if you follow the recipe, it's no problem. So Krishna consciousness is easy for those who follow the recipe. And for those who are Mr. or Mrs. Big Know-it-alls, you see, I don't need to follow the cookbook. I'm very intelligent, you see. They have trouble. They're not successful in Krishna consciousness. So the first step is you got to be humble. You have to realize you don't know everything. That's the first step. The second step is you have to take proper lessons from senior devotees, from gurus, from Prabhupada's books. You see, take good lessons. And then apply those lessons sincerely. If you do that, I guarantee you, you're going to have a smooth ride. Even if there's a little turbulence, it won't jostle you around. You see? You'll be smooth even in the midst of the turbulence. In fact, the turbulence can help you, can actually help you to become even more smooth. That's one of the insider secrets. The turbulence can actually make you more smooth, because turbulence is a test coming from Krishna. That's he's testing you. See if you can handle it properly. So we should never allow anything to disturb us. You should see everything as Krishna's mercy, and in this way progress nicely back to home, back to Godhead. So I can ask now if there's any questions. So everyone already knows all the answers? If you don't know all the answers, then you should be asking questions. Yeah. When did I first meet Prabhupada? Well, Prabhupada has two forms, his Vani form and his Vapu form. The Vani form is more powerful. I first heard about Prabhupada. Some friend introduced me to the Maha Mantra, and then he showed me an article from a magazine where the devotees were talking about Prabhupada. So that's my first actual connection with this great personality who had brought the Maha Mantra. It was a magazine called the Saturday Evening Post. It was a popular magazine in the U.S. at the time. So they interviewed some of his disciples in San Francisco, and they told about the Swami, who said that if we chanted this mantra, there would be peace. We wouldn't have trouble anymore. So in that way, it was first, you know, very general sort of way, it was introduced to Prabhupada. And then gradually I came closer. Then I saw on the television that there was some popular show called The Hollywood Tattler. Of course, I wasn't a devotee yet, and now I wouldn't watch television, of course. But the Hollywood Tattler, so the latest gossip about the stars, you see. So the lady came on, she said, the Beatles have given up Maharish Mahesh Yogi, and now I've taken Bhaktivedanta Swami is our guru. So then I heard a little bit more about Prabhupada, you see. And actually at that time I was going to, I figured the material world was a losing cause, and I was decided to abandon it and just go to India and become a sadhu, you know, and wear a robe and just be a sadhu in India the rest of my life. So I was heading out to India, going to New York to get a job on a freighter, you know, go to India and just be a sadhu wandering around the holy places, you know. But then a voice inside said, no, you should be going to San Francisco, which was the opposite direction. I was going to New York on the East Coast, and San Francisco is the West Coast, you see. So I turned around, I stuck my thumb out and got on the road. In the U.S., you can do, on the side road, this means you're hitching a ride, you see. I hitched a ride like 2,000 miles, ride all the way across the U.S., from Texas out to California with my thumb. And I went to San Francisco, and I went to the popular neighborhood there for the countercultural youth called Haight-Ashbury. And I walked in the popular park for the countercultural youth, the hippie youth, called Golden Gate Park, and there they were, the Hare Krishna devotees on Harinam Sankirtan. About 50 of them. It was a huge Harinam. It was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. Beautiful Harinam, you see. Devotees actually, of course, they're inviting everybody to join, but the problem was I'd been reading so many Mayavadi books. I mean, I'd been reading a lot, because I didn't know anything. I had been studying how to become self-realized. I'd read all the Mayavadi books. The Prabhupada's books hadn't come to my town yet, where I was. So I thought I was Krishna, you know, because that's what all the books told me, that you're Krishna. So the devotees asked me to join. I thought it was a little ridiculous, you know. Surrender to Krishna, I mean, I am Krishna. So I wasn't quite ready to join yet, you know. But a dear godbrother, who's now my godbrother, Makanlal Prabhu, he invited me. The Prabhupada is coming tonight to Berkeley, which is right across from San Francisco. And you come tonight. And I saw a picture of Prabhupada. Now I'm getting closer, see. Saw a picture of Prabhupada. It was strange. Prabhupada reminded me of a bull. I don't know why. But of course, the bull is a symbol of religion. But he reminded me of one of those Indian bulls. I mean, in a respectful way. I saw he looked very pure, just like a bull is pure, you know, symbol of religion. So yeah, I saw him as a symbol of religion, but you know, I was too attached to being Krishna. And I didn't want any Swamiji popping my little bubble, you know. And even though he was only two blocks away, Prabhupada, I was 2 blocks away from where Prabhupada was giving a lecture that night, and I didn't go. So I was getting closer. I heard about a Swami, and then I heard it was Bhaktivedanta Swami, and then I saw his picture. Now I was invited to go, but, you know, if you're Krishna, you don't want somebody to mess around with your position. So I didn't go. I kicked myself, of course, for that, but what can you do? What's done is done. Water over the dam. I didn't go to hear Prabhupada. And then again, some time went by. Again, I went to visit the devotees there in the temple. They invited me. Well, we're having a big festival in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada is coming. We're going in the van. You get in the van and come with us to L.A. Please come to the festival. And again, I still thought I was Krishna. I didn't go. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I could have been with Prabhupada, but I didn't go. Oh, what a shame. So how am I going to get this Mayavadi idea kicked out of me? Because it was holding me back, you see. But anyway, Maya was very merciful. She's a pure devotee. Maya gave me a lot of kicks. She kicked the hell out of me. I mean, I went through a rough time. This was back in like 1970. I was back in that time. I was back in Texas, in Austin, Texas, and Maya kicked me up one side and down the other. I mean, she kicked the hell out of me. I really kicked me hard, and I was like, whew, you know. And I just became very, very sober and serious about becoming self-realized, you see. So I'd been raised as a Christian, and I took to the Bible. Some Christian invited me for some prayer meetings, and I got into this habit of reading the Bible every morning. And I was trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? No, I was trying to figure out, how can I become self-realized? And because Jesus was a self-realized soul. If I can do what he did, then I can also become self-realized. So what made Jesus the self-realized soul that he was? I was trying to figure it out. Every day I was studying the Bible. So one day I found it. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I knew that was it. I just got to do what God wants. Forget what you want, rascal. Just do what God wants. But there's only one problem. I was waiting for the voice from the sky telling me what to do, and no voice was coming. So how will I know what God wants me to do? I was perplexed. But then one day, that's a whole other story, but one day I realized that I can't hear God, but he can hear me. So then I started praying. My mantra became, Dear God, please guide me how I become your perfect servant. Every day I was praying like that, very intensely. That was my mantra. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. And you know what? Krishna answered my prayer. He sent one devotee. You may have heard of this devotee. His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He's a famous devotee in ISKCON history. He sent that devotee to my town. I was sitting there in the apartment of my friend. I was staying with my friend Mike, and Mike's friend Margaret came and knocked on the door one Sunday morning, and she said, Guess what? There's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He's going to be at my apartment in 1 hour. So I went over there. because I had met him in Berkeley, and you know, I liked the chanting. And anyway, I went over there. I met Vishnujana Maharaj, and he invited me for the Love Felt celebration down in Peace Park that afternoon. And I went down there, and it was amazing. Vishnujana Maharaj was absolutely amazing. In fact, Prabhupada wrote a letter in which he said to Vishnujana Maharaj, he said, "When I heard you singing the kirtan in Los Angeles, I felt how you were carrying me to Vaikuntha." So that's called an empowered kirtan man, you see. His kirtan was so powerful that he carried Prabhupada to Vaikuntha by his kirtan. So guess whose kirtan I was hearing every day? His Holiness Vishnujana Swami's kirtan. The same kirtan that had carried Prabhupada to Vaikuntha was carrying me to Vaikuntha too. So now I was getting closer and closer to Prabhupada, right? Getting a little closer, a little closer, a little closer to meeting him. See? Of course, I'd already met him in one sense. But so anyway, the devotees, I wasn't willing to surrender, you know. I still had this, you know, independent streak. But devotees are always inviting me to move in. And I said, well, I thought, let me move in just not to surrender, but just as a learning experience, kind of like to observe what's going on, kind of a thing. Not to surrender, but just to move in to see what I can learn without any commitment. And they accepted it. Vishnudeva Maharaj accepted it. Yes, that's a nice attitude. You'd like to learn something, you're welcome to come in and stay with us. And I was doing everything. I shaved up, I put on the robes, just to experience what it's like to be a Hare Krishna devotee, you see. I went in Rome, do as the Romans do. I was bowing down, doing everything. But then it came to, well, you know, we really should surrender and become Prabhupada's disciple. And there's no way I want to do that, you see. That means giving up my independence. Because I was a songwriter at the time. I was thinking, I'll write songs like George Harrison's doing, you know, "My Sweet Lord," and chanting the name of the Lord, "You'll Be Free," you know. I'll just, you know, stay some time in the ashram, learn more about the philosophy, then continue on with my songwriting. But to be a brahmachari, you know, shape, you know, be a brahmachari and give up your independence and just be like in the military under the guru's order at every minute, no way. But then I'll be a devotee of Krishna, but I won't be a disciple of Prabhupada. That was my decision, you see. Then the devotees showed me, but Steve Prabhu, they called me Prabhu after I distributed 10 BCGs. I got a title, Prabhu, Steve Prabhu. But Steve Prabhu, see where it says here in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Parita Pari, Krishna is saying, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshantite Jnanam Ganinas Tadvadarshina. You have to surrender to the spiritual master, Krishna's order. So I was defeated. What could I do? But I wasn't going to do it. I just couldn't say anything. But then one day, now this was when I really met Prabhupada. This is when, in fact, I did meet Prabhupada. George Harrison had produced that wonderful Radha Krishna Temple album. It was just released in the spring of 71. You know, with Govindam Mari Purusham, you know. It has just been released from Apple Records. And a radio station in Austin got a promotional copy. They didn't want to play it, but they saw us, the Hare Krishnas, on the street, and they said, "Here, you might like this." And we did. We loved it. We were in bliss. Wow, George Harrison? Is Krishna conscious? Wow. So we were playing that in the temple all the time. So my morning duty, we had a rug in our temple room. I was vacuuming the rug for my morning service. And I was hearing the second cut on the album, Samsaradava naladidhaloka tranayakaryu nagana gana. You've heard the cut. It's so beautiful. So I was hearing that cut, and I was hearing all the London devotees, you know, Malati, Jamuna, Gurudas, Mukunda, Shamasundar, you know, Tamar Krishnam. I was hearing all the London devotees. They were singing with so much love for Prabhupada. I was amazed. I could hear the love coming through their voices. You know what I mean? When someone sings with love, you can hear that love in their, you know what I mean, in their voice. So I was hearing the love for Prabhupada that they had in their voice, that they had in their hearts, expressed through their voices. And I was going, wow, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. There's nothing I've never... This is the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my whole life. This kind of love, this is amazing. And I just went deep into this meditation. I just started crying and I said, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? I just started crying. And that was it. That's what I meant. At that moment, Prabhupada entered my heart. In that moment, I gave my heart and soul to Srila Prabhupada and he entered my heart. I hadn't even met him physically yet. But I truly met him. You can't say I didn't meet him because I surrendered to him. I gave myself to him as his eternal servant at that very moment. So you can't say I didn't meet him because it wasn't physical. I'll never accept him. That's when I met Srila Prabhupada. And then later on, I saw him physically because we've always been told that Vani is more important than Vapu. We've always, isn't that our philosophy? We've been saying, we've heard it a million times. Vani is more important than Vapu. The teachings and the vibrational presence are more important than the physical presence. So yes, that's when I actually met him, that moment. And of course, later on, I got to meet him physically as well. Within a couple of months, I got to meet him. Because we were in a little remote center in the middle of Texas, you know. He hadn't even come to Texas yet. So we met him, and I first saw Prabhupada in California. And yes, and then I physically met him. And he gave me so much personal training mostly through correspondence. Much personal training Prabhupada gave me. But that's how I met him. That's indeed how I met Prabhupada. Any other questions? Questions, come on. Questions are great. Questions are a sign of intelligence, not stupidity. An inquiring mind is an intelligent mind, not a stupid mind. Of course, I know you're all highly educated. You're Bhaktivedanta College. You're highly educated. Maybe you already know all the answers because Bhaktivedanta College now is giving you a very good education. That's a fact. All right.
How to develop taste or hearing and chanting? How to develop taste?
How does
chanting and hearing in chanting
distinguish?
How do you develop taste?
How do you develop the discipline?
Hearing and chanting.
How do you develop them? Make them
taste.
Better?
Yes.
Taste? Oh, okay. Sorry, my hard of hearing, but okay. Yes, the way to develop a taste for hearing and chanting is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Shushusho shradadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syanmahat sevaya vipra punya seva nakirtana. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for Vasudeva Katha, the topics of Krishna. So the secret is serve pure devotees. That's the secret. Because pure devotees are swimming in that ocean of Vasudeva Katha Ruchi at every minute. So if you serve them, it's like if somebody has tuberculosis and you take their remnants, you will catch tuberculosis. I don't recommend you try it. But if you will, in the same way as if you associate with someone who has tuberculosis, you will catch tuberculosis. In the same way, by closely associating through service, and that's the only way to get really close is through service. You see? If you want to get close association, you have to serve. That's how you get close association. Otherwise, you're always at a distance. But those who serve, they actually get very close association. And that close association then will give you Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, a taste for hearing and chanting about the Lord. That's the key. Serve, 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 Vaishnavas. That's the key. Thank you for your nice question. So now you do that. You serve, 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 serve Vaishnavas. Any other questions? Yeah.
Prabhu, you mentioned about that first the service is that devotee gets more taste in doing services. So then still the service is the means to get to the taste and
absolutely. Yeah.
So how are there, is there any like contradiction there? Because it might sound contradictory.
Explain to me what would seem to be contradictory.
Well,
the preliminary stage, the ecstasy comes from service. Yeah, okay, I thought you were referring to that. Yeah, I understand your question. It's a good question. It's an intelligent question. Because we did read here tonight that the preliminary stage, they relish the pleasure from the service. In the mature stage, they're actually situated in the love of God, where in which they relish perfection. They relish the highest perfection, yeah. So how can we say that service, of course, why service would be required then to of the highest stages to relish Krishna consciousness? Even if you're just like a pund who's advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can be on his deathbed with no opportunity for any service at all, but in a state of total ecstasy, because he's developed the art of how to remain in that meditative state. Well, the key is when you have the energy for doing service, you must do the service. And one is young and full of energy, you must engage it fully in Krishna's service. And then your consciousness, in other words, what you're doing is going to have an impact on what you're thinking. So keep yourself doing Krishna conscious activities as much as possible, 24 hours a day. And then your mind will become more and more accustomed to being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It will go deeper, deeper, deeper into Krishna consciousness. That even if you engage your energy in that way very thoroughly for Krishna, even if you're sick and you have to spend 2 weeks in bed, you won't lose your Krishna consciousness. Because by active service, your mind became fixed in Krishna consciousness. It's like going out on Sankirtan. It makes you very Krishna conscious. The service itself will make you Krishna conscious. So the idea is that by serving Vaishnavas, by doing preaching activities, this will actually give us the taste of just how sweet it is to remember Krishna. We try to just say, well, I'm just going to sit and remember Krishna all day without doing anything. You'll just fall asleep. We don't have the strength to do that in the beginning. So the idea is you take your natural tendency to your doing mode, the active mode, engage it in Krishna service. We all have a desire for relationships. No man is an island. We all like to have friends and relationships. So use that by making Krishna conscious relationships with devotees. And making non-devotees into devotees also. Making a relationship with non-devotees and turning them into devotees. You see, in this way. So that active nature, engaged in Krishna's service, will bring the mind naturally to Krishna consciousness. So if you see some contradiction there, I'll be happy to address it, but I personally don't see any contradiction. It's simply a difference between preliminary and advanced stage.
Okay, thank you, Prabhupada.
Yeah. We all start off in the preliminary stage. So we don't. So you have to use your passion for Krishna. We have to be Rajagunis for Krishna. But I'm saying cultivate sattva guna along with it. Because in the end, sattva guna is what we all have to have. just to be able to absorb in thought of Krishna. At the time of death, we can't do anything. We can't engage our passion at the time of death. So while you use your passion for Krishna, that's very good. At the same time, cultivate pure hearing and chanting, quality rounds, quality reading, quality relationships with devotees, quality studying. Try to develop a pure mood of bhakti in everything that you do. And that will bring you quickly to the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. Anything else? All right then, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. We'll be giving a class tomorrow morning, so if you have any questions, you can bring them. If you didn't ask tonight, something comes in your mind, then remember it for tomorrow morning's class. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.